say anger. Anger, anger. We're coming from Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 14, and it says, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove all out who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. Last week, we talked about dealing with our anxiety. And we said if we're going to deal with our anxiety, first of all, we have to talk with friends and be transparent with them. We have to talk and be transparent with God, and we have to talk to our feelings. That was last week. So this week, as normal in this series, I'm going to ask you to turn to your neighbor. No, this is not an atypical church move. I am going to ask you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, how are you feeling? And I'm going to pause because I want them to respond. Because in this moment, you're going to hear two things. One, that I'm okay, or two, that they will express that everything's not okay. And that's where we can get plugged into family and ask them what it is that they need and how you can be a blessing. Because in this point, in this portion of our walk together as church, we're dealing with our emotions. And today, we'll deal with anger. We'll deal with anger. Anger is a strong feeling of annoyance or displeasure or hostility. And when do we feel angry? We feel angry when we're threatened or in danger, and anger is there to give us energy to survive. We feel angry when there's an injustice and you are compelled to help and save and deliver someone else. We feel angry when we feel vulnerable or sad or rejected. In traffic, we get angry when we get cut off. We get angry when we watch the news and see a preventable injustice. We get angry when things don't go our way in our life, in our finances, in our relationships. Anger is our response. When our team loses, we get angry. When the food gets burnt, we get angry. When someone doesn't take the trash out, we get angry. When you catch back-to-back red lights and you're already late, somebody said Jesus, you get angry. When someone's trying to talk to you while you're trying to eat at work on your break and you just got 10 minutes to yourself. A lot of y'all got some anger issues. We get angry. When the website takes too long to load, when they keep on giving you ads on YouTube, you get angry. When the fly keeps on buzzing around your head, you get angry. When people pull their cell phone on the highest, brightest setting in the middle of the movie you're trying to see, you get angry. When somebody forgets to flush in your house, you get angry. When you give me advice I didn't ask for, you get angry. When you get in front of me on the road in the fast lane and you like to drive slow, I hope this audio is coming through on the podcast. When I don't like how God has allowed this to happen in my life, sometimes I'd even get angry at the Lord. In our body, when we get angry, our body fills with stress hormones such as adrenaline and cortisol. The brain shuts blood away from the gut and towards the muscles in preparation for a fight because you're angry. Your heart rate, your blood pressure, respiration increases. The body temperature rises and the skin starts to sweat. When I don't let go of my anger, I can get hypertension. I can get high blood pressure. I can get depression. When I have unexpressed anger, it looks like sarcasm and cynicism. I avoid necessary conflict. I shut down and isolate myself. I have negative and self-critical thoughts. I feel guilty, ashamed, or bad when I have the normal emotion of getting angry. What does the Bible say about anger? Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. James 1:19 to 20 says this, know this, my beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But this week, we're going to look at how Jesus dealt with that strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. The clip we showed before we started our experience was a clip from Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. If you didn't see it, I'm sorry. Look, it's been out a couple months now, so I'm sorry. Didn't see it. I'm sorry. Year, right? Year is some change. So in this clip, the protagonist is at a place where she is filled with rage. I hope I'm not spoiling it for somebody, but her brother dies and she's angry because she has the ability to heal him, but it doesn't work out. Her mother is killed in front of her and she's upset that one, she couldn't save her, and the diplomatic decision she made to save a young lady has now cost her mother. Her people have been attacked, and finally she gets the power to do something about it, and she's about to get her some get back at the man that's causing all these problems. She is justifiably angry. And if anybody saw that movie in that scene, especially after the Queen Mother died, we was like, oh well, he got to go. But almost, I'm not akinning that moment to the Holy Spirit, but the spirit of her mother shows up and said, shorty, remember who you are. I know you're angry, but don't let your rage cause our people to go into war. I know you're angry, but don't do something outside of the context of who you are. And then she says, anger has consumed us, and we can't let it consume our people. Why are we looking at the Jesus archetype on how to deal with anger? Because Jesus shows us how to be angry and yet how to still stay in God's will for our lives. So today, we're going to talk about anger. Let the church say anger. And the point is, this first point is, repeat after me, I'm angry for a reason. I'm angry for a reason. Jesus is having his triumphal entry, and this is before our scene in the garden that we dealt with last week. Here, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem to the cheers of the crowd, calling him Lord, believing that he is the king to overthrow Roman rule. But really, he's there to set them free from their sins. In the Gospel of Mark, just the night before that entry, that night he goes to the temple. It's late. Everything is in order, and he leaves out. And in Matthew, we're picking up in the story on the next day. What's going on in the life of Jesus right now? Jesus knows that in 5 days, he has to give his life. He knows that the cheers that are saying Hosanna are flattering, but they're misplaced. And after the celebration of him, he goes to his father's house and he sees something that finds him upset. He finds the temple courts. He finds money being exchanged in the temple courts. He finds selling and buying there. He finds the temple courts not being what they're supposed to be. First of all, the money changers and the sellers of goods and animals were only allowed to be there by the priest. So in other words, you knew it shouldn't have happened, but you let it happen anyway. Second, the temple was set up for worship. The temple had an inner court and an outer court. The temple was not set up for business transactions that could have happened on the outside of the temple. Then the outer court that was being used for business was being used ineffectively and used to cheat the people, because the people who were exchanging money were charging the poor people an overage for their funds. So Jesus is saying, you knew better. You were in the wrong location. You are getting over on the people, and I'm getting ready to give my life for all of you, and you're doing this here. I have a right to be angry. And first of all, can we thank God for a Savior that's passionate? Can we put our hands together for a God that don't mind turning over some tables for us, giving his life for us, doing whatever is necessary to make sure we have right relationship with the Lord? But if Jesus is passionate, it goes to reason that Jesus had a right to be angry. And watch this, his anger was rooted in righteousness. His displeasure is coming out of a place that says, you can do that, but you can't do that here. Because the temple is where folks are trying to reestablish their relationship with God. And if there's any incongruence between God and the Father, the temple is where you're trying to be, and you guys are messing this up. And here's something to set somebody free this morning. Jesus was passionate and had a right to be upset, and you have that same right. It's okay to feel some kind of way. It's okay to have your blood go up a couple degrees. It's okay to have a natural emotion. But Jesus had a right to feel how he was feeling because it was rooted in righteousness. And the question for us is, why are we angry? Why are we outraged? Are you feeling, thank you, Harriet, are you feeling threatened? Or are you embarrassed? That's why you're angry. Is the opportunity that you fumbled away, and now it's not anger, but it's jealousy because you're mad at someone else getting ahead, and you really should have been obedient to God, and you would have been further along than you are?
Are you angry or are you just impatient because you wanted God to do it in your timing and now it's not anger, you're just having a violent temper tantrum? Are you angry about injustice or is it not injustice, it's just your preference? Is it really for the cause of Christ? Because if it is, Jesus led with love and correction 90% of the time. And oftentimes when it comes to Jesus, our protesting, our noise, our voices are not love-based, but forcing folks to see it our way. Because if your anger is not rooted in righteousness, then maybe it's time to let it go. Jesus is upset because the vehicle of the temple is being misrepresented. He doesn't want anything to get in the way of the people getting to God. You can feel anger. Don't suppress it. Don't give yourself an ulcer. But a healthy way to process my anger is to identify why I'm feeling, Don't be passive and say I'm fine. When you're angry, don't be passive because folks have told you it's okay to just hold it in. Listen, and don't be overly aggressive with your anger either. Some of y'all get angry because the sun's up. Some of y'all get angry because the wind's blowing. Some of y'all get angry because that commercial came on again. Be honest with yourself. I'm not angry, I'm hurt. I'm not angry, I'm betrayed. I'm not angry, I'm scared. I'm not angry, I'm just tired. And I'm feeling guilty about the need to have rest, and it's manifesting itself in an angry response. When it's rooted in righteousness, it leads back to God. In other words, don't let that moment of anger derail your destiny. If you notice, Jesus doesn't stay in the temple. After it's over, he goes on with ministry, and eventually he goes to the cross. He doesn't keep a whip in his back pocket just in case. He goes on in prayer and preparation. In other words, don't let your displeasure, don't let the hostility take you away from your destiny. Identify it, release it, get back on the road to what God has called you to do in this season. And is there a prayer, a praise in a room of someone who has dealt with anger, expressed it, but says, I'm not going to let this moment of me being upset stop the movement of God in my life. Yes, I have a right to be hostile, but the sun is not going to go down on me holding on to my anger no more this day, no more this month, no more this year. I got to let it go. I got a reason to be angry, but I can't stay there. But then what am I doing with my anger? Jesus is seeing the outer courts defiled and he's feeling some kind of way. So what does he do? Jesus drives out those who are selling goods and turns over tables. John 2 says he makes a whip of cords and drives out the sheep and oxen. Then he says, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. He gets that from Isaiah 56:7, Jeremiah 7:11. So he talks about the beauty of what the house of God is supposed to be. Then he talks about the disdain of what they are making the house into. So with the anger, with the seeing things out of place, with the mindset also that his time here is limited, he has a focused objective. He says, get them out and articulate what should not be occurring. So our challenge is not just what am I feeling, being honest with myself and my anger, but what am I producing out of what I'm feeling? Moses was disappointed and frustrated, so he hit the rock instead of speaking to it, and his anger produced a messed up activity. Cain was jealous and angry at his brother's offering, and he killed his brother instead of just getting a better outcome. What are we doing with the emotion? I know you're angry, but watch what the word says. Anger is acceptable, but don't let your activity from the anger be sinful. Righteous anger should lead to productive activity. He wants them out because this place is reserved for what God wants to do. And sometimes we have the propensity to go too far even when we have a reason for why we are upset. Oh, goodness. During the pandemic, I know this was nobody in this church, I saw so many people angry at somebody else's point of view that they went to a whole online war for months about mask versus no mask. About vaccine versus no vaccine, about police versus no police. So much so that they said in that season has now stopped them from having relationships in the next season. So much so, I stayed in that anger so long and spilled out so much. Now when it's time to move on, I can't. Now when the world has opened up, I can't even look you in the face because I was a gangster on the keyboards when I should have just been putting God first. Let me help somebody out this morning. Do not let what you're angry about produce a sinful response. We got something called, I know you're gonna think I'm showing off, but listen, just hear me out. Our biomythography takes over and leaves little room for our intellectual humility. Watch this. Don't play with me. I'm supposed to keep my face straight, y'all. Okay. Biomythography is the idea that you and I consistently tell ourselves a story about ourselves. And in our story about ourselves, we're the hero and the other person is always the villain. Intellectual humility is the importance of knowing that there's a chance, big or small, that you could have made an error in the argument that you were saying. So when I'm angry, I tell myself that you are the ultimate villain and that you are the ultimate evil. Then my body responds chemically and I'm ready to destroy you. And I leave out the intellectual humility that says all have sinned. And even though my actions have caused me to be angry, I don't have a place where I'm in righteous indignation that I'm so much better than you that I don't have flaws or sins of my own. And in that situation, I'm not like Jesus. I want to crush you. Instead of being like Jesus, I don't want to redeem you even after I'm angry with you. You got the right to be angry about injustice and sexism and racism and poverty and every other ill on the world, but don't make your anger cause you to put on the mask of unbridled fury. Don't let your anger, watch this, cancel the person that Jesus sent you to help get saved. Can it be said that in our anger, we forget that even he came to redeem us at our worst. And we're seeing somebody at their worst. And instead of being an agent for redemption after the moment is over, we give them a lifelong sentence of you can't be redeemed. Forgetting that Jesus came to save us, even at our worst place. Forgetting that the grace of God extends even at our worst place. I didn't say get back in a relationship with them. I didn't say go back and hang out with them. But I do say, listen, if you know they need to be redeemed, they can still come out your mouth in a prayer to say, God, do what you need to do in the life of that person because I know what you did for me. I know how you saved me. And I don't want my anger to be acidic. Oh, there's a shout in the building. Aren't you glad that God sent Jesus so that when God was angry with us, he didn't destroy us, but Jesus stood in the stead. Jesus produced a righteous response, so let us produce one when we are angry. I got a right to be angry. When I'm angry, I got to produce the right response. But then after I'm angry, what's the lasting result? Text says, the blind and lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. Jesus had a reason. Jesus acted on that reason righteously. And ultimately, the temple was able to be a help for somebody else. After he drives them out, after he deals with them, the text says, then the blind and the lame were healed. So even after I had to deal with that moment, the original purpose was restored again. After Jesus dealt with them, he didn't keep on pursuing the Pharisees. Watch me. He didn't keep on beating them. He didn't keep on he let it go because his original premise was, I'm going to make sure this place is open for God to move and heal and restore people who are broken and lost. The question I have to ask myself is, post my anger, what is being left in my wake? Post my protest, what is being left in my wake? post, the word says, and my mom like the quote likes to quote this, a word fitly spoken. What is left in my wake? Are people getting a chance to have their sight restored? Are the crippled in faith or in activity getting a chance to walk upright? Or after I finish being angry, did I just leave another wake of destruction where God has to come behind and clean up the mess he sent me to be a conduit to help fix? What are you leaving behind after you're angry? I'll leave us with this. I remember having temper tantrums in my room, amen, when I was younger. And was angry. So whatever, my parents told me to do something, I didn't feel like doing it. I know none of y'all did this, but I used to go upstairs and take the pillow and put the pillow over my face and have a few choice words. Amen. My parents, I used to get in there, hey, don't you do that. My son looking at me, don't you, better not. I got ears like a hawk, I can hear you. But then I would go and I would tear my room up. I would be so mad. Didn't tell me what to do. Of course, I did that when my father wasn't home. It was just my mom because Fred ain't played it. But when I tore up my room, I was angry and I tore it up. I come out the room, and in the wake of my anger, I left a mess. And then what happened? Barbara and Fred would be like, hey, sir, once you finish all that stomping, go back upstairs and clean up your room. I wasn't wrong in being angry at them. I was a teenager. I was a young person. I'm supposed to be angry because I'm supposed to push against discipline. That's normal. That's natural. But to go and turn my room in a 3-mile island was not. And post me turning in 3-mile island, Afghanistan, Beirut, whatever you want to say, I had to go back in and fix the mess I made. If only I had anger and handled my anger righteously. Many of us, after God deals with us, we have to go through a situation, we make our rooms a mess. And God said, yeah, I hear you. I'm glad you had that moment. Now, go back. Go clean up your room. But the good thing about the Lord, he'll give us another chance. Not just through his grace, but another chance to experience anger. And say, this time that I allow you to be angry, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to identify why you're really angry? Are you going to make sure you have righteous activity coming out of your anger? And finally, you're going to make sure somebody is going to be blessed and your anger is leading them back to a good place. As we stand to our feet and we put our hands together and give God some praise this morning, as we talk about dealing with our anger. As Pastor Belinda comes, she'll lead us to our next part of worship this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. How are you dealing with your anger? Thank you, Pastor, for that word. Amen. We can clap it up for him. If we can turn the lights up at this time.